Councilmember Eugene Connors.
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy.
Present.
Mayor Ron Erickson.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein.
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn.
Here.
Councilmember Serena Solomon.
Here.
City staff Justin Johnson, City Manager Ashley Coronado, City Clerk Sharon Bono, Finance Director Ben Reyna, Police Chief Robert Coronado, Sergeant at Arms, and Carl, City Attorney.
Thank you very much. What we're going to do tonight in this work session is we're going to have a presentation on Stone Garden. Hopefully all your questions can be answered tonight, including the public and the council. And after the presentation, that's when we will do the questions. We'll probably start off with the public and the council afterwards, and hopefully have a good session. So to get started, we are going to hear from Staff Sergeant Robert Coronado. Oh, Mr. Johnson.
Very, very quickly, Mayor, members of the council, and to the public, I'm really looking forward to tonight's conversation and discussion and presentation. There has certainly been a lot of spirited discussion around this particular issue, and quite honestly, there have been some valid points made by the public as well as you all as a body, but there's also a great degree of misinformation that I feel like really needs to be clarified, and hopefully this is truly an educational opportunity for all of us. Because this, you know, even for me, this is somewhat of a new program project, if you will, with Chuck right here in my face, you know, from like Tiger Woods, you know, knock my tooth out. But with that being said, you know, I'll certainly like to turn over to Sergeant Coronado. And you know, we're certainly, and thank you for all those that submitted your questions to the website. We really try to answer them best through the presentation, and the chief has outlined some of the questions that we receive that aren't pertaining, that we'll try to, you know, respond to those, but please bear with us. We did receive a lot of questions, and we're going to try to do our best to answer as many as we can. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. I noticed a few people came in late. If you would like to speak, just send a little note up to the city clerk, and she'll pass it on down to me, and we'll get to you. Those are the ones that have come in a little bit late. Staff Sergeant Coronado.
Mayor, Council, thank you, Jim. Members of the public, thank you for being here. Tonight, what the Bisbee Police Department has done is there's been several inquiries on the what Stone Garden is, what it entails, records keeping, et cetera. We figured the easiest way to deal with this situation this evening, and it's a valid situation that we're dealing with because it brings up some valid concerns, not only for the public, but also for the general city's welfare. Fiscally as well as manpower. So we decided at this point, so we went ahead and did a PowerPoint slide presentation for you. I believe everybody has a copy of that. It will be broadcast on the projector here as well. So because of a lack of time with the presentation, we'll get started on that. Bisbee Police Department, it's Operation Stone Garden. Operation Stone Garden. Basically what we've done in this slide is we've taken this slide and actually put the mission of what Operation Stone Garden is for what the Department of Homeland Defense has actually made their mission statement as to what Operation Stone Garden is. The intent of Operation Stone Garden, also known as OPSG, is to enhance law enforcement preparedness and operational readiness along with land borders of the United States, along the land border of the United States. Operation Stone Garden provides funding to designated localities to enhance cooperation and coordination between law enforcement agencies and joint missions to secure the nation's land borders. This was again brought off the Department of Justice website. This is basically what we as a department, we use as our mission statement as to our support of the Operation Stone Garden. And this is what the mission is in mind when developed from the Department of Homeland Security. History with the Stone Garden and the Bisbee Police Department. The Bisbee Police Department has been involved with and supporting Operation Stone Garden since its inception of 2003. In 2003, this program and this operation was brought to us by U.S. Border Patrol. At the time, it was U.S. Border Patrol, not U.S. Border Patrol and Customs. There were two separate entities at the time. They brought this to us, and basically said we have this operation that is in place that they would like to implement post 9/11/2001, and they would like to know if our department would be interested in participating in this program. The program included overtime for officers, working to not only support their mission as far as Border Patrol's functions, but also to enforce and to enhance the availability of officers on the streets to help out with both missions, but also with the Border Patrol's functions, but also with state and local laws that we could enforce that they necessarily couldn't. This support included, but it was not limited to, enforcement of state criminal traffic laws, detecting and detaining undocumented immigrants, apprehension of illegal drug loads, highway interdiction, investigations, asset seizures, and enforcement of the RICO statutes. RICO statutes is Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. The RICO has been thrown around several times within our agency, also known as Uncle RICO. This is a program or a these statutes and this act actually allows us and affords us the ability to seize assets under this act for corrupt organizations, so we can actually prove that it's a criminal enterprise, which we would be allowed to seize assets, money, property, et cetera, through this act. Agencies that participate, this is just Cochise County. This is not the rest of the state. I wouldn't be able to speak of who is actually involved in the Operation Stone Garden within the state, but this is actually within our county. Cochise County Sheriff's Office does participate in the Operation Stone Garden. They are the grant administrators, which basically means that the grant administrator within the county, the Cochise County Sheriff's Office has been designated. Every sheriff has been designated as the grant administrator throughout the state. So any agency that's wanting to become a part of Stone Garden has to actually apply. The grant process has to be applied to the Cochise County Sheriff's Office through their liaison, and then it's actually forwarded to the Arizona Department of Homeland Security. The Sierra Vista Police Department, Douglas Police Department, Benson, of course us, Wilcox, Huachuca City Police Department, and up until this year, the Tombstone Marshal's Office was actually part of it as well. The reason the Tombstone Marshal's Office is on there is because they were a part of it in fiscal year 2013, which was actually last year's grant process. So they are actually they did take part in the grant, Operation Stone Garden grant. I know this is small. Bear with me here, but I have a lot of information to put on one slide, and I apologize. Funding to date. What I've done is I've actually taken the last, 7 years of our funding to date and actually given you an actual total amount, and it's been broken down into actual funds received for overtime and actually funds received in equipment. The Operation Stone Garden began to distribute money and officer overtime in 2003, but not until 2007 did we actually begin to receive monies that were sustainable enough to purchase actual equipment that we could use as police officers. This is a short overview of the highlighted years and awarded funds. In 2007, the first year, what I've done here is this is actually the calendar year, but because the feds work on a fiscal year that's different than ours, this is actually the fiscal year, federal fiscal year, that they work under. So if we're in 2007, we're actually technically working under 2006 fiscal year, because they don't start their fiscal year until October. So we have 2007, which is a federal fiscal year of 2006. $283,000 was given as overtime, and $24,491 was given in equipment, given a total of $307,491. 2008 was a good year for the feds. They were really generous on giving out funds that year. Speaking of this year, 2008 right here is a highlight of this year right here. We actually received from 2008, the Bisbee Police Department was actually awarded several different awards from the federal Border Patrol agency. They came to our department. Their higher ups came from as far away as Phoenix to come down to our department to actually give us awards for In their words, we're being basically poster children as far as what the what the actual program entailed as far as what we should be doing, how we should be doing it. So we were given several awards, as well as individual officers were given awards for their amount, for their interdiction help, interdiction on the highways, as well as supporting Operation Stone Garden. That year, we did receive $400,000 in overtime, $105,617 in equipment. I'll come back to this year here shortly, and you'll understand why the $105,000 and why the $400,000 was there. The rest are pretty self-explanatory. 2009, 10, 11, not a real big change as far as numbers are concerned. There's some difference as far as the equipment is concerned, but that just varies on the amount that the award was given to our department. In 2011, if you notice, there's a little bit of a change right here in overtime. Not in overtime, in equipment here. In fiscal year 2010, this is the year that the Cochise County Sheriff's Department actually became our grant administrator. Up until this point, 2007, we did not have a grant administrator that we would directly apply our grant process to the Department of Homeland Security. And once the Department of Homeland Security got it, they would award as they saw necessary directly from Phoenix. 2010, fiscal year 2010, they decided at that point that they were going to go ahead and change that to have the sheriff of the county become the grant administrator. That actually began the downfall of funds with Operation Stone Garden, and you can see there's a slow trend of decrease in overtime as well as equipment. We went from $47,000 in 2011 to $7,500 in 2011 and 12. 5,000 in 13, and we had this year, it was slightly increased for the purchase of some items, which I will show you here in a second, to 49,500. The overtime rate has, over the past 7 years, has definitely been reduced from the original award monies that we used to get. It has steadily decreased as we go on for the overtime portion of it, as well as, in this case, 2014 is a little different, but it has steadily decreased from 2007 all the way to 2013, which would be federal fiscal year 12. So you can see there's a trend as far as it actually being decreased, and this is attributed to different factors, the amount of officers working the detail, the amount of actual enforcement of apprehensions, et cetera, things to that effect. This is an operation that is very stringent on statistics. So as the statistics come in, the operation overseers will actually see that the operation is doing well, is pretty much hit a plateau, or it's actually kind of decreased. As many officers in our department can tell you, we have had an influx in the years, at the beginning of my career, the amount of Mexican nationals that we would actually apprehend on a regular basis was within the thousands every year, up until about 2002, 2003. It started to decline a little bit. As it started to decline, they started going into more organized crime, stealing vehicles, renting vehicles to transport their cargo in. They got a little smarter to our ways, and they started to decrease that slightly. Our numbers over 2003, 4, and 5 were, like I said, we were very, we were awarded awards of how well we did. And in 2003 through 2005, Stone Garden wasn't as organized as it is today. This was a program that came to our department, and it was basically, you have this much money to spend, keep records on it, send it to your point of contact at Border Patrol, and we will decide at that point what needs to happen. Up until today's date, 2014, to the fiscal 2013, it has evolved into this body of work that we now have, that we know as Stone Garden. So it has definitely, as things increase with federal funding coming to our department, the responsibility and the responsibility of us to report this has increased dramatically. Anytime there's a question on anything, feel free to jump in and ask anytime before we get too far along in the slideshow.
Any questions from the council?
Yes, I have one question. You said with the decrease of the overtime in the latter years, did that have anything to do with the increase of the Border Patrol, that they just didn't need the number of policemen?
I can't speak as to exactly why the decrease is there for Border Patrol. I wouldn't be able to speak as to exactly why. We apply for a certain amount every single year, or a certain allotment every year of the county's overtime, or the Stone Garden operations overtime. That can be increased and that can be decreased depending on what the Arizona Department of Homeland Security decides at that point. It's not up to the county, it's not up to us for instance, but it's actually up to them to determine what they feel is a real number. The most current one that we just had in front of you four weeks ago, that was actually increased by $3,000 to cover some of the EREs and employee-related expenses, which we'll speak about in a minute. But it was also to include some of the mileage that were, because of the gas prices, that were at that point a couple of months ago. They decided at that point to go ahead and increase our allotment from $112,000 to $115,000. Our equipment award was exactly the same. So it just kind of depends on what they decide at that point from up there. And again, they do look at statistics and they do look at the amount of officers that are working, and they kind of coincide that with the amount of overtime that's distributed out. Now, if you have a bigger agency, of course, Sierra Vista PD, mm-hmm. Cochise County Sheriff's Department, they have a lot more officers that do work this program, which would definitely entail a little bit more going towards those agencies.
Thank you.
Okay. The next slide
Sergeant
we have.
Sergeant Coronado, would you mention the number that most people ask for? You haven't mentioned yet. What's the total amount that we've received under operation?
To date of records that have been kept with Operation Stone Garden 2007 through 2014, we have received $1,942,708. That does not include the federal fiscal 14 that was just approved through you through the council on about a month ago. That number does not include that at this point.
Mayor?
No, ma'am. This number here is only included from 2007 to 2014.
Yes, but did the police department, that's my question, you seem to have said that they did receive?
There was funds that were distributed to the Bisbee Police Department from 2003 to fiscal year of 2006. These numbers were not available at the time of this report to report on because the records that are being kept with this portion of Stone Garden, the way we have adapted it today, was not available at this point. It wasn't a program back in 2003, 2006. It wasn't a program where stringent records were kept as far as you would basically receive an award letter saying you have $20,000 to spend in 45 days, or you have $15,000 to spend in this amount of time. There wasn't an available way to get that from 2003 prior to my arrival in this position to actually go back in the records to find that with the amount of time that we had. I can do it. It's not a problem to do that. I was just given a brief type 7-year history as far as what we've been awarded with the equipment because the equipment seems to be a little bit of a hot topic as well. But I can definitely do that if necessary.
Councilmember Connors, did you have a question?
Well, part of the question was asked by Alice.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. Wasn't also a reason why, and I just recently read this, reason why overtime kind of came down because a cap was put on by Steve Paukin and Chief Elkins at the time when it kind of appeared that, you know, that there was some high salaries goes to $400,000 a year, and wasn't there kind of a year or two later, like, hey, we need to cap that overtime?
Yes, there was a cap put on top of the amount of overtime an officer was allowed to work within a certain pay period. 25 hours was the maximum amount that was allotted during one pay period. You were allowed 50 hours per pay period to work on top of your regular duties, which is your 40-hour work week. I can't speak as to if that's exactly why that happened, but I know that we definitely began to see a steady decrease as far as awarded funds for overtime. I can't speak as to that's exactly why it happened, but I can say that there is definitely a trend within that time period that would show that because of the cap, it probably had a little bit to do with the cap put on, that officers weren't able to work an unlimited amount of overtime, basically.
May I follow up question? Thank you. But if there was a cap put on it, and the amount of money, you know, I just couldn't go higher than, let's say, $100,000 paid to an employee, then couldn't that money just roll over into equipment? Those dollar amounts?
No.
Okay.
There's actually two grant processes with Operation Stone Garden. As you saw when we did the grant approval, there's actually two different grants that come through. The first grant is the overtime grant, and the second portion of that grant is actually the equipment grant. You have to apply for those separate, mm-hmm. and they can approve one but not the other, right, and vice versa. Normally, they wouldn't approve equipment if they didn't approve overtime. It just wouldn't make any sense for the way the Arizona Department of Homeland Security works. But there are two separate processes.
And I promise, last one. I don't expect you to be able to be in Mr. Johnson's predecessor's mind or the previous chief of police. But don't you think that bringing those numbers down to something more? You know, I think possibly maybe some bells or lights went on. It's like, oh gosh, you know, this might be impacting us down the road, so we need to tamp it down.
Yes.
Some.
Absolutely. And that I was going to speak about that here in the next couple of slides, but while we're speaking about it now, decreasing the amount of hours that the officers were able to work also decreased the amount of unfunded liability that we had with the city as far as employee-related expenses. Once that was done, Staff Sergeant Maddox, prior Staff Sergeant Maddox, he actually implemented a system within the city to actually get our employee-related expenses reimbursed from Stone Garden and began that process for us, which definitely increased. It would decrease the numbers that were coming to us because we had a cap, but it would also decrease the amount of number of hours that officers could work because now you had the EREs that were built into that. Mm-hmm. So you had not just, so I'll use fiscal year 06 as a 283,000. That year right there, you didn't have the EREs that were being taken out of that particular fiscal year. But if you take and you go down to fiscal year 2008 to 134,000, you had EREs that were being taken out of that, which dramatically decreased the amount of overtime hours that officers could work because now you had both entities within the actual pay. They don't care whether it's overtime or EREs or just EREs. The federal government doesn't care as long as you bill within a certain criteria. The federal government doesn't care how it's billed. They just want to make sure that it's billed correctly. So the quicker we hit the $134,000, they don't care how many hours of overtime that is to them. They only care about the actual number. So if we have a substantially less rate of pay than, say, Sierra Vista does, if Sierra Vista has that same amount of overtime there, Sierra Vista will actually hit that number faster than Bisbee PD would because we don't have the same rate of pay, mm-hmm. nor do we have the same amount of EREs. Does that answer your...
Kind of.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, may I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So you're showing the numbers from 2007 through 2014. What about 2003 through 2007?
Like I was just explaining to Alice, 2003 through 2006 was more of an informal type years of Stone Garden Award. We didn't necessarily have what we have in today's body of record keeping with Operation Stone Garden. Stone Garden, for all intents and purposes, wasn't intended truly to be a pro. We didn't expect Stone Garden to be around for as long as it is. And I don't believe, I may be speaking a little out of turn, but I don't believe that the people that we were receiving money from at the time was U.S. Border Patrol, we didn't believe that we were going to continue to get this because they would tell us on a regular basis, and I was very privy to this information through Sergeant Maddox, that it was going to go away. It wasn't going to happen anymore. So as far as the record keeping that we see today, it wasn't in place 2003, 2004, and 2005, which would be fiscal years, the federal fiscal years. So technically 2003 was technically their fiscal year 3, which was R4, basically. Okay, so the records keeping wasn't there. There are some records of it, and unfortunately they're not well kept as far as it's pretty much on a word letter given to us that we have this much money to spend at this time. By this date, you have to report back to us with stats. The stats were done by Sergeant Maddox, sent back to Border Patrol. But there wasn't the stringent amount of paperwork that we have to do now to report on.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay. This slide 5 is going to be equipment purchased with funds. And this is only with the funds that we have received. Again, this is a smaller type here, so I apologize for people that aren't able to see that clearly. 2007, the Bisbee Police Department was able to purchase one VHS repeater and 18 P25 handhelds. This one right in here, the 18 handhelds that the police department were able to buy brought us up to compliance with the FCC's mandate to be on a narrowband system within the year before the year 2013. This was mandated by the Federal Communications Corporation that all radio traffic for public safety had to be compliant with P25. P25 is a form. If Ev Wittig was here, he'd be able to give it to you exactly how it is. But my understanding of P25, it's a higher bit rate to where it actually will allow you to go to a higher frequency or in higher frequency to allow more capability within your radio system to get more things done with your radio system. On a lower band system, which we used to have, which was a monolog system, the ability for interoperability was not there in certain situations, and that actually brought us to post 9/11, where we had so many issues with radios and issues with radios 9/11. That's actually what brought the process to be for P25. We did purchase 18 of these for each officer, and we also, as we go here, you'll see that we will actually purchase several more of these. The VHS repeater is actually, it should be VHF, not VHS, sorry. I apologize for that. It's supposed to be VHF repeater. 2008, this is the year that we received $150,000 from the federal government, or $105,000. We were able to purchase 2 4x4 pickup trucks for the police department, 6 radar units, 2 portable units, which again are the P25 radios, and 1 mobile P25 radio. Our mobile units are actually the ones that are in the vehicles. These are actually the unit models that are in the vehicles themselves. A point of note that these radios right here, these radios that we have, the handhelds, these go for $4,600 a piece. And the mobile radio that's right here, the one is that goes for a minimum of $6,500 a piece. So we're not dealing with items that are just nickel and dime. They are pretty costly items to purchase, especially when you're dealing with a higher amount that's being purchased. With that, we also purchased decals for the vehicles, a weapons vehicle weapon security system, which is right here. This allows us to be able to keep weapons within the confines of the passenger compartment, and actually locks the weapons in the locks so that officers are able to readily access their weapons, but also have a sense of safety so that we, in the event the vehicle does get broken into, there's no way to retrieve those out of the vehicle. And also that included, that year included labor as well to have these items put on the road. 2009, we purchased a video surveillance night vision camera, and we also purchased 6 mobile data computers, which are also known as MDCs. Our mobile data computers are here, pretty self-explanatory. What this allows us to do, what it did allow us to do, is that this allowed us to go mobile with our Spillman system, which I'll speak with that, we'll speak about here in a second. Our Spillman system is a computer-aided dispatching network that we have actually incorporated to the police department as of 2010. And I'll speak a little bit more about Spillman here in a minute. 2010, we did purchase our base radio system. Our base radio system, I have slides of our base radio system here in a second, and I'll get into that as far as, and we also purchased, the base radio system was put into dispatch, and that also became P25 compatible, not only with our handhelds and our mobiles, but also our actual dispatch console that's in our dispatch center. 2011, we purchased 6 body armor tactical vests, which are here. These vests are rated as level 3A, which is the highest level you can obtain for personal protection. They will stop handgun rounds, and they will stop other items as necessary. We also purchased the ballistic helmets, which in the event that we need to deploy anything that would be a high stress or a high officer safety situation, we are able to obtain these. We weren't able to obtain the entire amount for the entire police department, but we were able to obtain 6 of these through the grant, and also the ballistic helmets for officer safety on the road. 2012, we purchased 3 more of the P25 mobile radios. 2013, we also purchased 2 more of those radios, the same mobile radios. 2013, which will be 2013's fiscal year, we purchased 3 portable radios with tri-band compatibility.
Would you repeat that, please?
Which part?
What you just said.
Yes, 2013's fiscal year, which is this last year's 2014, we purchased 3 of the tri-band mobile radio, portable radios. These radios are, I'm not sure if anybody's aware of the situation that's going on right now with the Cochise County Sheriff's Department. They are actually implementing a trunking system throughout the county. A trunking system is a little bit different than a P25 system, where you have multiple channels within multiple layers of the channels that they are allowing their officers to speak into. This radio, through Harris Corporation, is actually a tri-band mode. You have a low band, a high band, and you also have a trunking ability in this radio here. Because of the recent the Cochise County Sheriff's Office going to this system, the interoperability part of our department would be greatly reduced. We wouldn't be able to speak to them right away, just picking up a radio and speaking to them. We wouldn't be able to do it on these radios with just P25. We would have to actually go to a tri-band or a higher band radio that would allow us to speak to them on a trunking system. This radio allows us to do that. We are slowly going into this phase where we are purchasing these radios too, so we can be interoperable with the rest of the Cochise County, as well as our neighboring cities that are also moving towards that trunking 800 megahertz trunking system that the Cochise County Sheriff's Department has. As side notes on the bottom here, this year I was actually just given a call a couple of weeks ago by Arizona Department of Homeland Security, and they have actually reallocated funds for us to purchase 2 more of these Harris radios from reallocated funds that were not used through last year's grant process. As a side note also, the Cochise County Sheriff's Office was awarded $650,000 for use for a Spillman computer-aided dispatch and record system. Bisbee PD was awarded 275 of this for our portion of the Spillman system. Spillman is the actual name of this computer-aided dispatch system. Spillman is a records keeping but also computer-aided dispatch system that has been implemented in Cochise County for many years, as well as in service to PD for many years. Cochise County Sheriff's Office was awarded a grant under Operation Stone Garden to receive monies to allow us and Douglas PD to become on board with the Spillman system, and it's a multi-jurisdictional shared system. We are actually using the system with Cochise County Douglas, and as of this year now, we also have Sierra Vista, Wachuca City, Benson, and Wilcox is actually coming on to the same system as all of us. So as you can probably expect, there's going to be a lot of information sharing between the departments that will be a great asset to our police department. It's a great program. It's a great system to use for records retention, but also records requests. It streamlines those records requests as they come in because we're able to go to our computer system, look it up, and we have a way to go ahead and just get that information out to the general public for the transparency issues to make sure that we're doing our due diligence to make sure we get that information out to the general public.
Marie?
Yes, Officer Corno. In 2011, I'd like to see the police officers protected, but isn't body armor, tactical vests, and armed ballistic helmets something that you obtain through military acquisition?
No. These items were bought through a police supply store. Mm-hmm. Nothing was used to. We didn't obtain anything from the military, if that's what you're asking.
Yes.
No.
Thank you.
Mr. Young.
Yes.
Yes.
Safer for all this investment in this area? That's what I want to know. That's the bottom line on all this. We're spending lots of money, but are we actually safer living here? We're kidding ourselves if we don't think that we're vulnerable here. They just don't leave us alone because of our good restaurants. I know that.
I understand, and your point is well taken, sir. I like to think that our police department is one of the best in the state, if not the best in the state. But I also believe that because of hard work within our police department, it also makes us safer. Now, having this equipment and the tools to use and to be a little bit of a more effective and efficient on the streets definitely helps the situation tremendously. If you could, in totality of what we're looking at, you are absolutely safer by the fact that we have one of the best, if not the best, Southern Arizona radio systems in the county.
Fort Wachuca, is everything coordinated with them, with the sheriff's office and Fort Wachuca and that?
Coordinated as far as the radio system or just?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Safety.
Absolutely. We do work well with the Cochise County Sheriff's Department as well as our surrounding neighboring agencies. There are IAGs, interagency governmental agreements, for the need of manpower in the event we have a catastrophic event happen. We do draw from other resources to include firefighter or to include EMS personnel. So I would like to say we are very vulnerable of being as close as we are to the border, but we are also, I would like to say that because of our department that we have and the manpower that we do utilize and the great people that we have working for our police department, I do believe we are one of the best in the state, and we can definitely, in times of need, we will definitely step up and we will be a lot safer.
Where your division is, I mean, part of it's a farce, let's face it.
Sure.
And what do we do?
That could go in for...
Walk to the other side without any problem. Surveillance areas there? What's going on?
U.S. Border Patrol has implemented their own system on the borders, which include the fencing system, but also includes high-resolution cameras that try to keep people from crossing north, but also it prevents people from trying to cross south illegally as well. That could be a matter for another subject or another time, but I definitely tell to answer your question, I definitely would, with this equipment being purchased through Operation Stone Garden, I would definitely say we are a lot safer for what we do and how we do it, as well as the great men and women that we have working for our police department as well.
I think what we're going to have to do is we're running into a time constraint. And I think Mr. Coronado needs to finish the presentation. We have a lot of people signed up. And I will allow other people, but I'm going to go through the sign-up sheet first, and time permits, then we will get to as many people as possible. Also, the finance director is here tonight, and perhaps I'm sure that some pension questions will come up, and perhaps she can help us out on that.
Okay, slide number six. The funds obtained from Operation Stone Garden and the subsequent purchase of the equipment has greatly reduced the amount of out-of-pocket costs to the city of Bisbee and its citizens. As you can see through slides five and six, the amount of equipment that is actually purchased through Operation Stone Garden would be very difficult for the city of Bisbee to purchase on their own. We're looking at several hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, to purchase this necessary equipment. And when I say necessary, we are federally mandated to stay within codes that the federal FCC has put up in front of us. Without Operation Stone Garden, it would have been very difficult for us to purchase these items on our own, as you're well aware of the issue that we had purchasing the fire department's mandated repeater that had to go into the fire department's general budget. It was very difficult to our general line item. It was very difficult for that money to come from a rainy day place, if you will, for that to go in. So this amount of money that we've actually obtained from Operation Stone Garden has greatly reduced the amount of out-of-pocket cost to the city of Bisbee and its citizens. This necessary equipment is used in day-to-day functions within the police department, and it doesn't only deal with Stone Garden. These items that were on the road, the radio repeater system that we do have, the vehicles that are frontline vehicles on the road, these vehicles aren't just used for Operation Stone Garden. These items are all used on an everyday basis by our officers to keep the community as safe as possible. Whether it be the helmets, the vehicle lock, or the actual infrastructure that's on top of Black Knob Hill that keeps our radio system running, it's used on an everyday basis. It's probably being used right now as we speak by our officers that are on the road for the radio systems. What I've done now with this is I've actually gone and attached some photographs of what the proof is in the pudding as far as the what we have at our police department. This is our Bisbee PD 911 dispatch center, which shows the overall dispatch console. The bottom right down here is actually our, if you can see that here, this is actually our P25 radio system. It's all computerized now. The one next to it here is the Spillman system, and this is our 911 enhanced system. If somebody calls 911 and you hang up your phone from your house, this little system right here will actually coordinate your exact GPS and also your exact housing numbers to let an officer or EMS or fire department respond to your residence without having a lot of information from you. It'll basically, you call, you hang up the phone, and we show up. We know exactly where you're at. Kind of a big brother thing, but it's also one of those safety implement things that we want to make sure that we have. This is our base race radio base station. Also another picture of the Spillman terminals. We also have a secondary dispatch center, which has everything the first slide did, but it's a second center in case we have something we need. This is our Black Knob repeater sites. This is up on the hill behind the Warren Ballpark. This shows the infrastructure on top of the hill. This is our radio array, antenna array on the towers. It gives us, Verizon is up on top of that tower, so those little diodes that are there are not for us. Those are actually from Verizon. This is our repeater configuration on Black Knob. There's three separate ones. Each one's for a different purpose within the array, and I'm not a radio technical specialist, so I'll That's our radio configuration. This is our Tank Hill site. This is the build. This gives us the ability to be a multicast system. This is actually above Tank Hill, right above High Road. So this system actually incorporates itself and speaks directly to the Tank Hill or the Black Knob Hill, and becomes a multicast system where you have both repeaters speaking, one down into the canyon and also one into Warren and San Jose. This is that repeater that's inside the Tank Hill, and also comes with a GPS configured to give it a little bit of timing for the timing issues that it does have. This shows a microwave system at Tank Hill. This configuration or antenna array is actually at Bisbee PD. The one in the middle there is actually our backup antenna that was purchased through Stone Garden as well. In the event we have a catastrophic failure with one of our systems, we do have a backup that was purchased through Operation Stone Garden as well for the infrastructure. Public safety pension retirement systems granted, all granted monies. This is a, as was prepared by our finance director. She was kind enough to give us this information. 50 to 80% of our PRS calculations, 50 to 80% is returned back to the officer or firefighter or whichever it might be upon the completion of their retirement. Once an officer or firefighter, somebody retires, they get in between 50 and 80% of their retirement back to them for the three highest years. The retirement age before 1/12/12, it was a straight 20-year retirement, which means that an officer, myself included, would work up until their 20th year and be eligible to retire with 50% of their three highest years. After 1/12/12, if you're coming from another agency and you're speaking and you're coming from, say, for example, Tucson PD, you have to have 15 years of vested experience, vested time in the PSPRS, but also you have to hit your 62 years of age before you can actually draw off of that with 20 years of service if you come from another agency. After 1/12/12 or 1/12/12, and it's been, you have to actually serve 25 full years in the retirement system, and you must be 52 and a half years old before you can actually draw off of the retirement system, which is greatly a huge difference from what it is for people that are grandfathered into the system. And this is an average of your five highest, not your three highest. Recommendations. This recommendation was myself, Chief Reyna, Sergeant Chavez. We also spoke about the ability to lessen the fiscal impact that the city of Bisbee is facing during these times. We have developed administrative policy that will not allow any officer to work any more than 16 hours per pay period. This is a new thing that has been is going to be developed or implemented as of tonight. Voluntary staff participation, having our officers and having our voluntary staff come in and do things that necessarily wouldn't include having to put on a timesheet, that we would be able to volunteer some of our work functions to reduce the amount of time and money that the city would be liable for. I spoke about the 56-hour regular overtime per week, not to exceed 16 hours of overtime per officer. We're going to do our due diligence in monitoring the retirement eligibility window. If in the event we have an officer that is eligible to retire, doing our due diligence to make sure that we don't put the city in any more financial burden than we absolutely have to, and having that officer look at his or hers retirement objectively to see whether or not it would be a good idea for that person to do that. And encourage new officers to participate in the Operation Stone Garden. New officers, as you can see, new officers don't necessarily have the same stakehold that we do as tenured officers within our three highest years. So for an officer that comes in and wants to take advantage and actually use Stone Garden for a little bit of extra compensation, they can do that. And we encourage newer officers, or we want newer officers to come in and take it to work Operation Stone Garden more so than we would like to have the 10 more tenured officers that would be more more working towards their three highest. That makes sense. Okay. What are the EREs?
Excuse me, Ms. Adams, did you have a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any danger of just a few officers doing most of the stone garden hours? And is this the time in the program for you to address the pension situation as it acts in Operation Stone Garden?
Yes, that's what I'm going over right now, the pension portion of it. This is how the last slide that I just showed a little bit of some part of the pension program and how we're trying to fix our portion of that from the police department, but also showed what the pension layout is for years to come prior to 1/12 of, or January 12th of 2012. Prior to that, you had a 20-year fixed retirement. That was after your 20 years, you get a full three retirement after your three highest consecutive years. Public safety retirement is now implemented that after 2012, that you have to be vested in the system for not only not for 25 years, but you're not able to draw on that until you're 62 and a half years old, and it has to be a combination of your five highest. So they have their different parameters that your officers have.
Are you referring to our city police department? Or to the Operation Stone Garden program?
I'm speaking as directly to the public safety retirement system itself. Not necessarily either entity, but the retirement system itself, kind of giving an overlay of what the requirements are for them.
Will you address the Operation Stone Garden?
Yes, and that's what I'm going
to
speak about.
In relation to pensions?
That's what I'm going to speak about right here is ERAs. What are ERAs? They are employee-related reimbursement expenses that are 100% funded by grant monies. The cost of gross amount of overtime salary. These are the actual numbers that ERAs cover. They cover your FICA, which is your federal monies that go back from your paycheck, your Medicare's, your PRS retirement system, which is now at 64.7%. Medicare is at 1.45%. FICA is at 6.12%, and your workman's comp. Your workman's comp is at right at 4 cents or right at 5 cents per employee per hour.
Sergeant Coronado?
Yes.
The 64.70%, that's the city portion.
That's
of
the
that.
City's portion of it, yeah. Yes. Officers' so, portion is right around 8.5%.
And so out of the $100,000, that's taken out of there?
Yes. That all these numbers that are here on the slide right now, these numbers are reimbursed except the 64%, because that is the city's portion of it. The officer's portion of that is reimbursed by Operation Stone Garden.
Is the city's part reimbursed by Operation Stone Garden?
I'm sorry?
Is the city's portion?
No.
It is not?
It is not. It is only done through officers. The officer's portion is reimbursed.
Let's have, and she's coming up, Ms. Buono, the City Finance Director, to explain that a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, let me make the statement. There's a lot of people signed up, and I can already tell that we're not going to get to everybody, but I think this is a very important issue for the public to know and understand, and I will call another, perhaps a public meeting or a work session. I want everybody to be heard and your questions answered, and my apologies that we didn't allot enough time for that. I take responsibility for that, but I need for you all to give your input, questions, or comments. It's real important, and I will reschedule another one real soon, within a week or 10 days or so.
Excuse me, Mayor, I have something to ask about that.
Yes.
Because in your agenda item for the next meeting,
uh-huh.
You're going to be asking to ratify the Stone Garden.
Right.
And I think that what we're saying in here is going to directly influence how the council will be voting, hearing from the public. So I think these questions need to be answered adequately before there's a ratification.
Can I interrupt just for a moment?
Oh, sure.
There will be an opportunity for the public to speak during those ratification items. There's two of them.
But if we don't have the information, you're asking us to speak from a position of ignorance about making a decision that has some financial bearing on ourselves as taxpayers.
Well, have Officer Sergeant Coronado continue the presentation.
Okay. I was just informed that I misspoke about the portion of the officers. The officer's portion is directly taken from their paycheck, their gross amount. The number here, the 64%, is actually what is reimbursed by the Operation Stone Garden. So the 64% is reimbursed by Operation Stone Garden, and the officer also pays their portion out of their paycheck. So to clarify, I did misspeak on that portion of it.
So Operation Stone Garden
yes.
pays 64%
yes,
of
ma'am.
The pension?
Yes, ma'am.
And the city pays the rest?
No.
No. No. Pays 64.7%. For every
the
dollar.
City does?
Yes.
And that is reimbursed by Operation Stone Garden. For every hour of overtime that the officer works under Operation Stone Garden, that is reimbursed to the city at that rate of 64.7%.
It's probably going to be necessary to repeat this a few times and to explain it a few times in very simple words, you know, loudly so we can process it.
So are we saying that the city pays 64.70% and then Operation Stone Garden gives that money back to the city?
Correct. For every dollar that is spent in salary, we are currently paying, whether it's overtime, Stone Garden, or any other kind of salary expense for our police officers, we pay an additional 64.70 cents, so another 65 cents for every dollar we spend in salaries. So that's this, and Stone Garden is reimbursing us exactly what we paid.
To the city's general.
Yeah. To the city general fund. That's all tracked. It's any salary dollar. You know, the retirement rate doesn't change based on what the responsibilities are. It's dollar. We pay 64.7 cents for every dollar spent in police officer salaries. And every year that changes. Correct, correct. Any cost that's associated to that overtime is reimbursed at 100%.
But pensions are paid for 30 years or 20 years, so is it every year that that's accumulated that we know that those costs are being covered by Stone Garden for every year of that retirement?
Right. What we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and have Officer Coronado go through the next slide, and we're going to talk about things that impact pensions. So let's go ahead and do that, and then I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Now, this is going to be the fluctuating factors of the pension system. Why is it so hard to figure out why the actual effect of the pension system liability for grant monies? One of the major impacts of that is going to be age of the employee, junior versus a senior employee. Again, like I was speaking about earlier, junior employee doesn't necessarily take because they're in the system that you have to be vested for 5 full years of your 5 highest, but also they have to be in the system considerably longer than senior officers that are grandfathered into the old system have to be. So you have the 3 highest consecutive with 20 years versus the 5 highest with 25 years, and you have to be 62 and a half to draw off of that. Pension plan participation, which one calculations based on the membership dates. Did you want to speak about
that? Well, the calculations are different for officers that were in this plan prior to January 1st of 2012. Then after that date, it changes. It goes from 3 years, average of 3 years highest salary to 5. That's a big difference. So that really impacts the number further down the line. Also, you have to remember with your junior officers, their earning capability is going to grow through their career. So the chances of an officer selecting his first 3 years to average his pension is pretty null. They're going to look at the end of their career because, you know, common sense tells you you're making more money. So this is one thing that impacts it greatly. It actually minimizes if we have the junior officers working, the impact grant monies has on their pensions.
I'm not clear too because I remember seeing something that said 60% of the Bisbee City budget goes to police and fire. It didn't, so does that mean what, but that money comes back, the police portion comes back through Stone Garden?
No, that's just really a whole different topic.
Okay.
on what our percentage of our budget is to fund our police officers and our firefighters too. It's something that we talk about every year. It's a lot different than the dollar amount that we're talking about here and how grant dollars impacts pensions at the end of an officer's career.
So the 60% is just how we're paying the police?
Well, the 64.7 is the money spent on every dollar that we pay in salary just for the retirement. And the fire department has a different rate. That's calculated every year. We're going to be going into that budget. You know, we're going to be starting to work on the budget the first week in February. Department heads will receive all their paperwork and we'll have better figures then. But it's really apples and oranges compared to what we're talking about tonight here.
Another fluctuating factor would be resignation and terminations. As officers come into the Bisbee Police Department and find work elsewhere or go to work for a different police department, this also will greatly impact the amount of percentage that the police department as a whole is required to pay to public safety retirement. As officers resign or as officers retire, those numbers are not necessarily going to stay the same, which might increase or decrease, for that matter, the amount that actual officers are going to be paying into the retirement system. New hires, vested members of pension plan already. This is basically how our numbers are figured within the pension system itself. If we have, say, a rough number of 20 people that are drawing from the pension system after retirement, and we only have 14 to 15 people paying into that system, the numbers are going to be greatly increased, the amount that we are liable to pay back into that system to make sure we keep the numbers where they need to be so that we don't wind up going into a shortfall with the pension system. Our pay scale, like I was speaking about earlier, Sierra Vista PD might have a different pay scale or hourly work rate than we do. If Sierra Vista has a higher hourly work rate than we do, that definitely would be a fluctuating factor as far as how much we're actually paying into the system itself. And for lack of time, I will move straight on. Why is the Operation Stone Guard an asset to the City of Bisbee and its citizens? First point I'd like to make is that this provides an extra police officers in the streets at times of need. Myself, Sergeant Chavez, and Chief Elkins were actually speaking about this along with City Manager Johnson, that at any given time within the City of Bisbee, there are normally scheduled two police officers within the city limits at any given time for 30 square miles of area. With officers that do come out and work an extra shift of Stone Garden, that allows us to have an extra officer on the road for protection reasons to help. In the event that we have a situation happen within the city limits that we can draw resources from, those officers are already ready. They don't have to go get up out of bed. They don't have to be going get in their car. They don't have to do a lot of things that normal everybody, if you were calling somebody off duty, they're already on the streets and ready to go. They could just come straight off of Stone Garden time and go right back onto the city's time clock, if you will, and they are there for assistance. Provides funding. Second point in there is provides funding for necessary equipment, thus greatly reducing the City of Bisbee's need to use general funds. As I spoke to earlier, that's pretty self-explanatory as far as the amount of equipment that we have already purchased and the amount of out-of-pocket costs for the city. And this allows officers to make a more comparable salary to others, other bigger agencies or competitive agencies, thus reducing our turnover rate and retaining highly qualified officers. Officers that are from the city that are that have a good work ethic within the City of Bisbee, we want to retain those people, or we want to retain those officers so that we don't have a high turnover rate and having to keep out-of-pocket costs or out-of-city general funds costs to actually go out and promote the city to work here and actually to have officers for new hires. But it's a very in-depth process to get a new officer on the road, and it does retain our officers on the road so they can be a little more competitive with salaries that other agencies are able to basically throw at them. And it's not always greener on the other side of the hill, as the old saying is, but it does keep our officers here, drastically reducing our turnover rate. And with that, that is our presentation. I'm sure there are a lot of questions.
Well, we have quite a few people signed up. Of what I think is the most appropriate way to do this is during the items on the regular agenda, and I want you all to speak and ask questions, and Sergeant Coronado will be here, Chief Reyna will be here, the Finance Director Sharon Buono will be here to answer your questions during that process in the regular session. I hope that would satisfy everybody because we are into time constraint right now. Ms. Miner?
Yeah, well, there was one issue that wasn't spoken to whatsoever so far, and I was just hoping at one point in time in a private conversation with Officer Ben Reno, he stated very clearly that he was opposed to militarization of the police force, and I'd like if he would speak to that at this point in time and whether he would like to go on record publicly for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'll refer to the question here, I believe, one of the that we received. It says Stone Garden has provided the Bisbee Police Department with vehicles, radio communication equipment, which has been beneficial to the city and the police. What kind of guarantees do the citizens have that military equipment like gas canisters, military weapons, won't be accepted by the Bisbee Police in the future? For one, I don't think we need those types of items that are listed here as well as others. A lot of the media attention is towards the up-armored vehicles or the surplus stuff that people are or agencies are getting from the military. We have never obtained items like that, and I would hope that whoever my predecessor will kind of have the same mindset, is that this type of equipment here is essential to the officer's safety in order for them to perform their duties within the city. Gas canisters, outside of the pepper spray that we have, it's just a personal defense. It's a tool that we use to gain compliance, but it's not a gas canister or a gas grenade. Military weapons or surplus weapons from the military, I think that's just, it's not a smart choice for a community like ours to accept or even solicit from any surplus a system. However, we do, in fact, equip our officers with the necessary tools for them to do their job. The helmet and vest is from a police supply company. That just gives the officer an added layer of safety for them in the event something does occur. These officers don't wear these as a normal routine for them, so these are the things that they use in case of an emergency. All the other items we use on a daily basis. So I would hope, and there has been conversation with the two staff sergeants, that we would like to see the Bisbee Police Department be more community-oriented, and I think in keeping with that, not getting involved in some of these programs is essential. We don't really, there isn't a need for that, in my opinion. One of the other questions that was submitted was, what is militarization, and does the Bisbee Police Department adhere to the militarization of the police department? Police departments are characterized or sometimes defined as paramilitary organizations, meaning that we have a rank structure. There is a sense of discipline and a sense of accountability, very similar to what military organizations have. There's a rank structure, and it's to keep order and discipline in order to provide service in a timely, safe manner. And it does some of the organizational systems that are out there do benefit police departments in the sense that it isn't a military, but it is structured to operate safely and organized. Some of the questions were answered in the presentation. Who verifies the overtime hours and is responsible for the oversight? Staff Sergeant Coronado took over the reins of Stone Garden from now retired Staff Sergeant Maddox. We do, in fact, keep daily logs. If an officer works or two officers work Stone Garden, the hours are kept by Staff Sergeant Coronado. He, in fact, has to submit these so that they can keep track of those. Again, he just recently took over that, but prior to that, it was Staff Sergeant Maddox.
Can I
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Just to go back to the military organization, because I remember in our conversation with Mary, and you had mentioned that police academies now are training people. In a way, actually, you weren't so happy about that.
Well,
it was more military, and I'm wondering if with all this equipment and with the training that you yourself indicated was more military, that people, that new police officers aren't coming into the department with that mindset and this equipment, because I have seen officers daily in situations where I had a t-shirt, they were wearing a military vest, heavy-duty vest, I'm thinking, who's going to get shot here? You know, so I have seen that, and I'm wondering if that...
Those that you see the officers wearing, other than a day shift, which is 6 to 2 p.m., what you see is an outer carrier, which contains their actual bulletproof vest that we wear underneath our uniform. And what it does, it allows the officer to purchase a less costly uniform. The uniform that you see that I'm wearing here is now up. It's a $250 uniform, pants and shirt. That doesn't even include the boots or anything else. It for some reason, the cost of uniforms increased. So what we did, once we reduced our uniform allowance, we allowed the officers to go to what we called a Class B uniform, which is a BDU pant, a polo shirt, and then we allowed them to wear a outer carrier, which just they inserted their bulletproof vest into that, which allowed them to take it off and set it down while they did their reports. And in that, it allows them to remove some of the stuff from their duty belt, which causes a lot of issues with your hip and back, and places it here, which it carries easier, such as their taser or notebooks, pens, and such. And in turn, once that uniform became popular with other agencies, the price of those went up as well. So we're looking at some changes in that as well. When you talk about the academy setting now, it seems like... And when you talk to older police officers, anytime that there's a conflict anywhere, it seems like these individuals go back to their police work and they attempt to methods and whatnot that are currently in place somehow kind of trend and go into law enforcement. The 12-week FTO program that we have here in Bisbee, we try to instill a sense of community policing here. And we realize that that's happening. When you go to these academies, and I hadn't been to academy setting for quite a while, and the new academy in Tucson tends to have a more it's a physical plus an academic academy, whereas the one we used to go to was more of an academic. It was in a community college, so there's a different setting. So we realize that. So when we get the officers in, we address that, in that Bisbee is a place, it's a community-oriented place. We need to go out and do things a little differently. So we recognize it and we do address that.
Chief Reyna? I think what we're going to have to do is transfer this over to the regular session. And item number 3, I have a list of names. I've signed up for the work session. Anybody else want to sign up, go out in the hallway and sign up on item number 3 or 4 if you'd like to speak. And I certainly want to hear you, and I think this is the best way to do it. And Officer or Staff Sergeant Coronado will be here to answer questions, just like we did in the work session. Chief Reyna and Sharon Buono, the Finance Director, or whoever might be able to answer those questions. And we need to hear from you. And so I think that we need to take a break. I think a few people need to attend to themselves, perhaps. We have a lot of people here. So I'm going to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion approved unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.